tonight, take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, and we'll begin our reading tonight in chapter number 11. In chapter number 11, we'll spend some time in chapter number 11 and chapter number 9, but we're looking at the life of Solomon. And Solomon's the kind of guy that you could spend a long time preaching through his life, but you can't do it in just one message. The last time I preached on Solomon, we preached that he had a good start. And in fact, he did. It was an amazing start. And he humbly sought the Lord and asked God for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom and blessed him immensely. But tonight, the story and the life of Solomon and his legacy actually changes for the worst. Tonight's message is titled this, Solomon's Heart Was Turned from God. Solomon's heart was turned from God. If you'll look with me in God's Word, chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 1, it starts with the word, but. We see Solomon's life before this, and there's riches and wealth and glory, and actually a testimony of pleasing God. But, the Bible says in verse number 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon claved unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. I want you to see a recurring theme in this passage of Scripture. You look in verse number 2 with me. The Bible says, surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Verse number 3, the Bible says, his wives turned away his heart. Verse number 4, the Bible says, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And the Bible says in verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. Folks, I want you to know something. Solomon's heart was turned from God. But it didn't have to be that way. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, irregardless to the length of time that we've been saved, irregardless to our time spent in church or our faithful attendance, the question we must ask ourselves is your heart turned from God? Solomon wrote, when things were going good, when he's in his prime, he was trusting in the Lord. He was a man of great wisdom and blessing. He wrote, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And unfortunately, Solomon didn't take his own advice. But God has recorded all of this. Why? So that you and I can check our hearts. So that you and I can stay in tune with the Lord and have the blessings that God has promised. Solomon's heart was turned from God. Is my heart turned from God? Will you ask yourself that question as we look at this message tonight and see from the life of Solomon what God is doing I want to tell you what's going on in Solomon's life. Since that day that Solomon met with the Lord and asked for wisdom, God blessed him immensely. The nation of Israel was doing amazing things. Do you remember Solomon set out to do one main thing, and that was to build the temple? And he does. He accomplished it with great beauty, and it was perfect. It was wonderfully done. Solomon builds the temple. For 20 years, Solomon's doing great. How many years? 20 years. Solomon's doing great. He built the temple. During those 20 years, guess what else he did? Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he wrote the Proverbs. Almost all the Proverbs that we owe in our book, in our Bible, the book of Proverbs, come from the pen and heart and the wisdom of Solomon. He wrote the book of Proverbs. Jerusalem was at its best. Jerusalem had wealth that was just unimaginable. I'll tell you some things I found fascinating about the nation of Israel under the rule of a wise and godly Solomon. They had wealth. They had, you'll like this, all you Navy guys. You know the Navy's biblical, right? Solomon had a Navy. He didn't have any Marines. Can you believe that? He had a Navy. His Navy was fleets of ships that traveled all over the world and brought riches back to Jerusalem. He had a Navy. He had herds and farms and gold. The annual gold that was given and possessed that came in, just the gold that came into Solomon every year. The Bible tells us how that it was gives us a figure in terms we can understand. 1.3 million ounces of gold was what Solomon brought in to his own coffers every year. Just the gold. Do you know what that's worth? Gold was $1,900 last week, an ounce. Do you know how much money that is? $2.5 million U.S. dollars every year just in gold. $2.5 billion U.S. dollars every year just in gold that was coming into Solomon's coffers. And beyond that, he had spices, and one of the great industries that he was part of was the lumber industry. They were loved to build out of cedars. But he said in Jerusalem that cedar became as sycamore. Sycamore was an inferior building product, and they had cedar just like sycamore, and silver became as stones. The Bible gives us details of Solomon's wealth and his homes and the temple and the people of Jerusalem that they were literally making their dishes out of pure gold because there was such wealth. Something that strikes me about the nation of Israel while Solomon was leading a godly life. It's two little words, actually one word. It's repeated twice. When the Queen of Sheba came to see all the riches that she'd been told of in Israel, and she was dumbfounded by how great it was. It was better and more than she could have even imagined. You know what she said? She gave testimony that the servants of Solomon and the men around Solomon, they were happy. They were happy. I want you to know something. That's more of a treasure than having $2.5 billion worth of gold. They were happy. They were happy. And it was a wonderful time. God accepted the temple. God accepted the gift and the work that Solomon done. And in chapter number 9, if you turn there with me, Solomon has completed the temple. For some 20 years, he's been working, writing, serving, and the people are happy, and Jerusalem is wealthy. Everything's flourishing. And God speaks to Solomon and gives him the most important advice he could ever have. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. What does God say to Solomon? He says, Solomon, I accept the temple, and I accept you as king. And as I've promised before, I keep my word. If you'll honor me, and if you'll keep me first, and if you'll make me your Lord and your God, then I promise you that the nation of Israel will flourish forever. That your children and your children's children and your children's children's children and your children's 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 children. You get the point? That forever I'm going to bless you. And all you got to do is one simple thing. Now you'd think for a man that could build a navy and a man that could build a temple and a man that could build a palace and a man that could lead multitudes of people, and you'd think that that wouldn't be too hard for him to do, would you? But you know what he did? He failed. He failed at the one thing that made everything else good. And you know what scares me? It scares me as a man at the thought of potentially succeeding at anything and everything that I attempt and missing the one thing that makes any success good. And that's putting Christ first and keeping my heart right with God. Solomon's heart was turned from God. And God says, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. Verse number 6 of chapter 9, the Bible says, but if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. What did God say? He says, look, if you don't obey me, he says, this temple, this success, this building is irrelevant to me. I'll cast it away from me. You know what fascinates me about a loving God and the God that I call Savior and Lord is that he is far more interested in a person than he is a palace or a temple. He says, I don't care about this. This building's great, and it's going to serve a purpose. I put my name on it. But he says, I don't care near as much about this building as I care about your heart, Solomon. And he says, I'll tell you what will happen. If you turn from me, this building, it will be a proverb. You think that spoke profoundly to the man of the Proverbs? He says, this building will be something that somebody will say, you know, if you don't trust God, you'll be like that temple that Solomon foolishly built. He says it'll be a temple. He says it'll be a proverb. It'll be a byword. It'll be something that's just in the past. Verse 8, the Bible says, and at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land, unto this house? Verse 9, and they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. You know what God said? God said, Solomon, I'm going to bless you. You got one thing to do. I'm going to bless you. And all my blessing will be sweet if you'll keep me the Lord of your life, put me first. But Solomon's heart was turned from God. Solomon's heart was turned from God. Solomon's prosperity caused him to forget about his first priority. What's our first priority? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. What's the first priority? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What's the first priority? To honor our Creator and our God. But Solomon's heart was turned. Turned from what? Was his heart turned from decency? Yes. But that was that the whole problem? Is that what God kept saying? Was his heart turned from integrity? The answer is yes. Was his heart turned from blessing? Yes. But ultimately, his heart was turned from God. And when our hearts are turned from God, then all these other evils ensue. May God help us. Wouldn't it be a shame to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Would it be a shame to have everything that you could possibly imagine and know that your children and your children's children can't enjoy it? That you've displeased God and you've lost His blessing. Guess what happened? Solomon's heart was turned from God. The question I must ask you is, your heart turned from God? There's a few things that happen in our text tonight. Chapter number 11, if you'd turn there and we'll look and take our message from chapter number 11. Solomon's heart was turned from God. There's a couple verses in the New Testament I want to read to you as you get your Bible turned there to chapter 11 of 1 Kings. The Bible says this in Luke 7:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." The Bible says in Luke 12:34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The question we must ask is my heart turned from God? Solomon's heart was turned from God. And I always want to see the why. The first point I want to bring to your attention tonight is this. Number one, he ignored God's clear warning. He ignored God's clear warning. I want you to know something. I've not read to you all the times that God spoke to Solomon and said, "Hey, I'll bless you if you'll honor me. I'll bless you if you keep your heart in tune with me." Over and over again, Solomon is taught this truth. As a matter of fact, Solomon spends a long time in his life telling that truth. You read through the book of Proverbs, Solomon is consistently saying, "My son, keep your heart right with God. My son, hear this wisdom. My son, keep the Lord in His proper place." But I want you to know, number one, that Solomon ignored God's clear warning. Folks, are you guilty of ignoring God's clear warning? How many of you are outrightly disobeying God? Some of you may be here and just blatantly and boldly disobeying God. But you know something? That's a really bad thing. And we should get our hearts right with God. By the way, no matter how far you've ran from God, you can come back to Him. His mercies are new every morning. He is faithful and just. That means He has every right to forgive us of our sins. You can forgive. You can be forgiven. It's wonderful. But irregardless, you know what? These bad things, huge bad things, are bad. But you know what normally happens when someone's heart is turned from God? Solomon's heart didn't turn from God in one swift blow. But a little thing here, and a little thing there, and a little thing here, and a little thing there. And before you know it, Solomon had turned headlong in sin. And on this day, as we read in chapter 9, as Solomon was meeting with God and God accepted the temple, if you'd looked at Solomon and said, "You know what, Solomon? Man, you're a great builder. In just a few years, you're going to build a temple to the God of the Ammonites. You're going to build a temple to the God of Molech. You're going to build a temple to the God..." He'd have said, "You have lost your ever-living mind." But I want you to know something. When we read in chapter number 11, guess what Solomon's doing? He's using a skill set that God had given him and trusted him with to build temples to pagan wicked gods and doing all kinds of ungodly wickedness. You know why? His heart was turned from God. He ignored God's clear warning. Look at the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter number 11. "But King Solomon loved many strange women." together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. You know what Solomon did? He ignored God's clear warning. How was God clear? Very clear. But you know what Solomon did? Solomon became a master at excusing his sin. Folks, I want you to know something. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. You should never excuse a lie. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You should never excuse sexual perversion. The Bible says, thou shalt honor your father and your mother. You should never excuse dishonor. The Bible continues, and you can go through all the Ten Commandments. You can go through the principles of the New Testament. And if you disobey the clear teaching of God's Word, and I want you to know something, your heart is turned from God. God told him point blank, you can't be with that person. And Solomon, you know, I'm a king, and, you know, it might do some good for us. Just think of all the political expedience that we could do. And if we could build trade relations with Egypt, if we could build trade relations with Moab, then if I marry this queen, then I'll become friends with the king, and, you know, this is going to be good. And just think about all the money that I can earn, and we could do something good for God, you know. I've met folks who are going to do something good for God in the future. If you're not giving, serving God with what you have, you're not going to serve God with what you get. Solomon, he excused away his sin. He disobeyed the clear-cut commands of God's Word. And folks, if you're guilty of doing that, I want you to know something. Your heart is turned from God. And no matter what you get in this life, there will be a bitterness that you can't overcome. What you get will never satisfy until you get it with a heart that's in tune with God. He ignored God's clear-cut warning. Number two, his sin turned his heart from God. He ignored God's clear-cut warning, and he did exactly what God told him not to do. The Bible says in verse 3, if you ever question Solomon's sanity and question whether or not he was insane or not, read verse 3 and you'll be certain that he was crazy. He lost his mind. The Bible says in verse 3, and he had 700 wives. Moron. That's dumb. Can you imagine the drama at that house? Holy cow. My blood pressure goes up just thinking about it. He's lost his mind. He had 700 wives. Princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. First of all, it began, he was bringing these women into his harem, which was wrong. It was something that was wrong. It was against God. He'd done exactly what God told him not to do. He's bringing them into his harem. And they begin. When he starts this mess, he's still trying to serve God. But the next thing you know, exactly what God said would happen, happened. I find that just hard to believe. What God said actually happened. I'll have you know something. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you may think that you're getting by with your sin, but I'll have you know something. If your heart is turned from God, you are building yourself a house of cards that will crumble and fall and will never produce what you think it will or what you want it to. You will bring to yourself and bring into yourself the awful curse of bitterness. You know, every time Solomon had a wedding, I'm sure he had a little skip in his step. The deeper he got and the longer he went, the more wicked he was. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that his heart was turned from God. His sin turned his heart from God. And the next thing you know, the guy that stood before God and God said, thank you for building a temple. I'm going to put my name on it. That same God, that same guy was building for pagan gods of the whole world. The Scripture says in verse number 5, Solomon went after Ashtoreth. What's he doing? Not only marry a woman that worshipped Ashtoreth, next thing you know, Solomon's trying it out too. You never think it's going to take you there. And the old quaint saying, it's true, sin takes you further than you ever wanted to go and keeps you longer than you ever wanted to stay. Don't forget it. His sin turned his heart from God. Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Verse number 7, look at this, it makes me sick. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. Chemosh was some false god, and he built a high place for Chemosh in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Listen, he's building temples to pagan gods in sight, in line of sight of the temple of God. I'll tell you something, it's something that we can all easily fall into, that we'll worship other things. And there's other things that become on the same plane, an equal love as our commitment to the Lord God. I'll just tell you something. If there's an earthly love that you have that stands between you and obedience to God, it is not a love. It is a lust. And it is a pagan god that will lead to your destruction. And it may be a person. And God's people need to turn from their wickedness. They need to remove their foot from evil, because his sin turned his heart from God, and your sin will turn your heart from God, and you'll just wake up one day and you'll say, oh my goodness, what a mess I've made. Solomon, his sin turned his heart from God because he ignored God's clear warning. And finally, number 3, he reaped what he sowed. Look at the Bible says in verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Isn't that awful? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Solomon reaped what he sowed. All these barns that Solomon was building, and all this wealth that Solomon was acquiring, and all those things that were going on in Jerusalem. You know what happens in just a few years after Solomon dies? It becomes the property of Egypt again. Isn't that awful? Folks, I want you to know something. If you want everything you have and everything you love to belong to the flesh and the devil and the world, then leave God out and let your heart turn from God, because that's exactly what's going to happen. And it's going to cost you, and it's going to cost your children. May God help us. I talk to people in marriage counseling often. And I always remind people that your actions not only affect you, but they affect your children. And if you're not willing to fight for you, fight for them. And may God help us. May our hearts not be turned from God. You see, he reaped what he sowed. A man with a 20-year record. I've just been thinking about Solomon. You see, the story of Solomon's life, you can find it in his writings. As a young man in love, he writes the Song of Solomon. As a young man, his heart in tune with God, full of wisdom, building the temple and the kingdom and raising a family, he writes the book of Proverbs. I can't imagine Solomon in his twilight days as he's preparing to write the book of Ecclesiastes after he looks back over a life that was wasted and a life of vanity. I can't help but think that he opened his writings in the book of Proverbs and just began to look over them again, wishing to God he hadn't let his heart turn from God. I've looked in my Bible and I've thought about this context, and I can just imagine Solomon as an old man reading the book of Proverbs, thinking, oh, would to God I'd obey his word. He says in Proverbs 1 verse 5, he says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Oh, would to God I had stayed wise and learning and teachable. In verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, would to God I'd obeyed the Lord. Would to God I'd humbled myself at the pricking of my spirit when God convicted me of my sin. He says in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Oh, would to God I had heard and obeyed what David, my dad, said. Oh, if I'd just trusted the Lord. He wrote in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Would to God I'd listened. Would to God I had trusted. Chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 16, he says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger that flattereth with her words. What was it that turned his heart? His wives. And before he ever had all those wives, he was just given this wonderful, wise counsel. The strange woman. He says in verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that they mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. What did Solomon say in his prime, in his wise days, when his heart was in tune with God? He said, I'll tell you something, boys. If you go after the strange woman, you'll be cut off from the land. I can just imagine him reading his own writing at the end of his life, saying, would to God I kept my heart. Would to God I'd guarded my heart. He says in verse number, chapter number 3, he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In verse number 5 of chapter 3, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This is Solomon speaking. Yet we've watched him 20, 30 years later destroy everything that God did. Why? Because he wouldn't keep his heart. Because his heart was turned from God. Solomon said in chapter 4 regarding wisdom, he says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I can't help but think that Solomon looked back through the Proverbs and said, would to God I'd kept my heart in tune with the Lord. You know what the Bible says about Solomon? His heart turned from God. What was the product? A life of deep regret. Folks, I want you to know something. What's true for Solomon is true for me and you. And may God help us to keep our hearts in tune with God. Do you know how to get what you really want? It's not by putting something on the outside of you in order to garnish you and make you feel better. Do you know how to get what you really want? It's by putting the right thing inside of you. And out of it, that relationship with Christ, a heart that is in tune with God, out of it comes the blessings of God. Jesus had something to say about Solomon. You turn with me in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's wanting to make this point. And it's not the outside garnishments of a life. It's not a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a husband or a wife. It's not a house or a car or money. Those things are all good and fine. I'm thankful for all of them. But it's not what's on the outside that gives you joy. It's what's on the inside. What turned from God? Solomon's heart turned from God. The inside. Jesus speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Verse 27, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Verse number 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies." Are you considering the lilies? Do you see a beautiful flower blowing in the wind? "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." What produces a flower? Do you have to get a flower and decorate it to make it beautiful? No. You see, a flower is something that God puts all of its beauty on the inside. And when the inside comes out, it is glorious and gorgeous and beautiful. And Jesus, looking at his disciples, he says, "Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin." Verse number 29, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith?" What's he say? He says, "I want you to know something. Out of the inside of that little seed comes the glory and the beauty that God only can give. And Solomon couldn't hold a candle." And you know what I'm excited about? When my heart is in tune with God, the glory that God makes available for His children, as we worship Him from the and learn about Him, and we serve Him from the heart, from the inside out, comes the glory that only God can give. Oh, it's so easy to become attracted and get our hearts fixed on the exterior. Solomon's world is strange women. In your world, you just tell me what you name what it is. Ask God to show you what it is. But Jesus says, look, Solomon could not possibly be arrayed with the glory of this simple flower. And he says in verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What does God say? God says, if you'll keep your heart in tune with God, you'll have glory better than Solomon, because you'll have a heart that's full of peace. Solomon concludes his life writing the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, "Everything under the sun, everything in this world is vanity and vexation of spirit." And Solomon says, "Oh, would to God I'd kept my heart in tune with God." I'll tell you, if Solomon could testify to us tonight, he actually has through God's Word. If Solomon could testify to you tonight, you know what he'd say? He'd say, keep your heart in tune with God. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He would say to you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you know what? He'd be right. The question is your heart turned from God? If the answer is yes, then I beg of you, for what's best in your life, for what's best for your children, for what's going to really satisfy, repent of your sins. Return to Christ. Give God your heart. Solomon's heart was turned from God. May God help us to learn from His great mistake and allow God to do His great work in our hearts as we put our trust in Him.